Yeshaya Perek Lamed Hey. We now begin a new section. The Das Sofrim actually divides Yeshaya into two parts. And this part is basically, it begins with a short nevuah about Nechama, about how things will be in the future. V'achris Hayamim, when Mashiach comes, we'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. Then Yeshaya tells the historical event of what happened in his days, and we had many nevuos about it, about Sancheirav being outside Yerushalayim, being destroyed, and then it will begin the story of exactly what happened when Sancheirav was out, exactly what happened, what Sancheirav's general, what Rav Shoke said, and what was responded, and about that whole nais. I'll talk about Chizkiyo was sick. There's a nevuah that Bavel is going to come even after they're saved from Sancheirav. There's a danger of Bavel that will come. And then there's many prokem of nechama, of comfort, about the final geula. But first, in the previous perek, in perek Lamed Dalid, it had mentioned the punishment that will be brought about those nations that caused the Churban, that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, those that didn't recognize the greatness of Hashem. And now in Perek Lamed Hey, Yesusu Midbar Vitziya, it talks about the joy, Yesusu, they'll rejoice, the Midbar Vitziya, the desert and the wasteland, Visogel Arova, in the wilderness will rejoice, v'sifrach kavchavatzolas, and will blossom like a lily. And the parsha will discuss how all of a sudden there'll be the deserts will have water and there'll be a path and we'll all be able to travel back to Eretz Yisrael. But the Malbim explains the pasuk as is derech in Tanakh. But here it's so beautiful the way every word and every phrase has its meaning. The Rishonim and Rashi learned simply, as we said, Yesusu Midbar Vitziya, the wilderness, the wasteland, they'll all rejoice, and it's referring to Yerushalayim is the Tziya, the wasteland, Tzion is the desert, they'll all rejoice, V'sogelo Arava, the places that were the Arava, the wilderness, they'll all rejoice, v'sogel arova v'sifra kachavatzolas, it'll blossom like the lily, all of the wastelands, Yerushalayim and Zion will all come to life. And the next pasuk is, parach tifrach v'sogel, it'll blossom continuously, and it'll rejoice, afgilas v'ranein, it will rejoice and break forth in song, kvod halavono nitan lo, it'll have the glory of the Levono, the tremendous, beautiful forest, Hadar HaKarmel V'Hasharon, the splendor of the Carmel and the Sharon, those are the cultivated fields and the beautiful pasture lands. Hema Yiru Kvod Hashem, they'll see the honor of Hashem, Hadar Elokeinu, the splendor of our God. But the Malbim explains as follows. The Malbim's approach in general in Tanakh is that there are, even though very often the other Mefarshim say Kefel Ha'inyan B'milim Shonos, that the Navi very often will describe the same concept in different terms to inspire the people, but very often it's repetitive and it's intended to be that way. The same idea is expressed in different ways. The Malbim this is his thesis, the path with which he explains the whole Tanakh, that there's no extra words and it's not synonyms, every word has its own meaning. Over here explains as follows. First of all, there's a difference between a midbar, a tzia, and an arava. A midbar is a place, a desert. And I'll translate the English word based on the way the Malbim seems to define it. A midbar is a place that you can't plant in. It's a desert. A tziya is a dry land where because of the heat of the sun that happens to be beating down on that place, nothing's growing. If you could shield it from the sun, or, you know, it could grow. But right now it's not fit to grow just because of the sun. And Arava was like a wasteland. It really could have grown things, but there's thorns and there's thistles and there's all types of wild creatures around there. It's just a wilderness, a waste. It's abandoned land, and it's overgrown with thorns. That's first of all. Also, there's a difference between simcha and sason and gil. Sason is the joy that somebody shows outwardly, like Misos Tupim, Misos Kinar, the rejoicing of music. A person hears the orchestra, hears the party, you can hear the noise. That's the sason. Or Shemen Sason Mechavirecha. A person has on perfume or something, anointed oil, the fragrance spreads. People are aware of his joy. Simcha is the feeling a person has inside. Yismach Yogel v'yismach levovo, his heart has simcha. Now, sometimes a person can have sason and he doesn't have simcha. He's putting on a show like he's happy, but inside he doesn't feel that way. And likewise, a person sometimes is dressed like he's an ovil or he's in distress, but inside he has a simcha. The two are not necessarily identical. There's the outward manifestations of joy, the sason, and there's the inner feeling of simcha. Gil is a simcha that a person gets, the thrill. A person hears some exciting piece of news, he all of a sudden it puts him on a high, that sudden joy that he has, that's gil. Yesusum midbar v'tziyah. When the goyim who didn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the goyim that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that he's the Melech HaKol HaAretz, and those that deserve a punish are punished. The Malbim says the Midbar and the Tziyah refer to the other nations of the world, the Eretz Ha'amim. And over there, they're not going to have the joy, the Simcha Nafshiyus, the inner joy that they really feel happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now exerting his dominion and showing his greatness. There may be the ticker tape parades, and there may be the big celebrations. Mashiach is here. They'll put through the sason. They'll put on the manifestations. They'll realize it's like the new king, and they'll come to honor him, and they'll serve him, and they'll all accept his authority. But it'll be an outward feeling. That's sason. Yesusum. There'll be a display of sason, yesusum, to rejoice, but it's the shorish is sason. That type of sason will be in Midbar Vitziah. A Midbar is a desert that's not fit for things to grow. In Chutzlar, it's the land of the nations. It's not fit to have that closeness and that real, the real simcha over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's desert. It doesn't grow with Avodas Hashem. And there's Tziah. See, is the dry land because the sun beats on it and nothing can grow there because of the sun. The truth is the Eretz Ha'amim, every nation has its Malach and Shemayim, it has its guardian angel, it has the Hashpah from above. There are certain places on earth, but they're Malach, it's because of the Hashpah from Shemayim. That place, those nations are not the place that can recognize and fully accept with Simcha Hashem's greatness. The Midbar, the desert that's not fit for things to grow. The Tziyah, the place that the Hashpah from Shemayim, the sun doesn't let things grow. They'll have a Yesusum. They'll have a Sason. They'll show the outward manifestations of joy when Hashem becomes the king and shows his rulership. V'sogel Arova. But the Gila is that, it's the Simcha's inward, and Gila is the inward with a sudden excitement. V'sogel, that Gila, that will be found by the Arava. The Arava is a land that really could be cultivated and could be fertile, but it happens to be overgrown with thorns and thistles, and right now it's abandoned land and it's just wild. You just got to call the gardener and clear everything away and fix it up, that empty, deserted lot. The Arova, that wilderness, that's referring to Eretz Yisrael, which is Royu to the Or Eloki. It's Royu to the light from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Malbim says, Mitzad Atzma. It really is fit to bask in the light of Hashem. And Mitzad Sharosha HaElyon, Eretz Yisrael is fit for that. The Hashpor from Shemayim also is attuned with Eretz Yisrael's purpose. Just right now, Eretz Yisrael is full of kotzim v'dardarim. It's full of all types of thorns, the bad maisim that have defiled the land. But now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows His greatness, v'sogel arova, the arova, Eretz Yisrael, will now feel a gila, a certain excitement, a joy, a sudden joy, like a person hears the good news. V'sifrach kachavatzoles, and it'll blossom like this flower, like a lily. Paroach tifrach. It's going to constantly blossom. A gila is something that's felt for the moment. A person hears an exciting news, he feels a gila. And then he has the simcha afterwards. It continues with the simcha. He's just happy that things are working out. But the excitement is initial. Over here, it's going to be one excitement after another excitement. Paroach tifrach. It's going to constantly be blossoming. Because there'll be nisim and there'll be a greater and greater awareness of Hashem. He says, "Va'idekach yelo gila tamid, ayidei hanisim sheyischadshu bo tamid." There'll be paroach tifrach. Will be blossoming constantly. V'sogel, and that will bring a constant gila. Afgilas v'ranein, it'll be a gila that will bring to breaking out forth in song. And to explain the next part of the pasuk, he says as follows: there's a difference between kavod and hadar. Kavod is honor. Certain things are very the choshev. They have a maila. They're prominent. They're dignified. There's something that's important. That's kavod. Hadar is the splendor. A person sees it. He's impressed. It looks beautiful. It's hadar. The kavod v'hadar te'atreyu is, he has kavod and hadar. But the forest, the levanun, a person goes to the forest and he sees the tall trees that have lasted for centuries and they're just so massive and tall and mighty. That's kavod. The trees represent an important, prominent, something that stands out. It's not necessarily beautiful, but it's impressive. Those tall sequoias, the trees that seem to be there through all time. On the other hand, when somebody goes to see a beautiful garden, and it's lush and verdant, and it's just beautiful. He goes to see the gardens. So the botanical gardens are the type of thing that's cultivated, and it's beautiful. But it doesn't necessarily last. It could be in the winter comes and all the grasses and they die. And you have to wait for the next season. It's got to be constantly tended. It doesn't last, but it looks beautiful. Looks beautiful. That's hadar. Kavod halavono nitan lo. It's going to have the kavod, the honor of the levonon, the glory, the hadar hakarmel v'hasharon. The Carmel and the Sharon, those are areas that are cultivated fields and those are pasture lands. The Das Sofrim says, the truth is Levanon, the forest of Lebanon, the Levanon was very north, the north part of Eretz Yisrael, what will be Eretz Yisrael, the north, the Levanon is the far north. The Carmel is a little bit further down, around Haifa. The Sharon is further down, he says, in the area of Tel Aviv, Yafo, that's the way he describes it. But all these areas will now experience the joy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the beautiful parts of the country. But as the Malbim explains, there's a different, there's the Kavod HaLevanon. Levanon is known for the Kavod. It's dignified. Those beautiful, majestic trees. And the Hadar HaKarmel VaSharon, the splendor, the way it looks so beautiful, of the Carmel and the Sharon. Hema Yiru Kvod Hashem. These areas will now see the Kavod of Hashem, Hadar Elokeinu. In terms of Hashem, Kavod is when Hashem shows His, imagine again, the Kavod HaLevanon, those beautiful trees that are just so tall and strong and lasting. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavod, the Kavod Hashem is mitzah that Hashem is the Borei Olam. And Hashem conducts the world. That's the Kavod of Hashem. That He created a world, you look at the world and you see the greatness in it. Every little thing, the way it fits in, you see the greatness in the world. That's the Kavod Hashem. B'meh she'yinogosom hanhoga ha'ashkochiyis be'emtsois ha'teva. The way things are just, there's a hashkocha through nature. Through nature, everything fits in. You can see there's somebody caring for us and everything just works out in nature. In nature. That's the Kavod Hashem. The honor, like those long, big trees that last and are permanent, and you see their greatness. Then there's Hadar Elokeinu. Hadar is that splendor. Like we said, the Carmel and the Sharon, you see a beautiful field, and it looks impressive. It might not last, but it's beautiful. What's beautiful is, what people appreciate and enjoy seeing is, when you see a miracle. If you see Elokeinu, Elokeinu means our Elokim. When Hashem shows He's Elokeinu, that He has an Am Yisrael through Nisim and Osos and Movsim that He does for us, and that's beautiful. You mamish see the greatness of Hashem. You something out of the ordinary, something unique, a nes, a miracle. That's Hadar Elokeinu. And therefore, in the end of the times, Kavod Halavono Nitan Lo. The honor, the kavod of Levanon will be given to the land. Hadar HaKarmel VaSharon. They'll have the splendor of the Carmel and the Sharon because Hema Yiru Kavod Hashem. They'll see the kavod of Hashem, how Hashem conducts the world. B'darach HaTeva. And Hadar, and they'll realize it's from Hashem, the Kavod Hashem. Hadar Elokeinu. They'll see the splendor that Hashem shows He's Elokeinu. He's our Elokeinu. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Chazku yadayim rafos. Strengthen the hands that are weak. Uvirkayim koshlos ameitsu. And the knees that are failing, that are buckling. Ameitsu, you should give them support. The Malbim says there are three ways that a person, Yunavim, have to be machazik people who are misyayesh min ha-geula, that they sort of are despairing from the geula. It just hasn't happened. So the Novi says the yush can be in three ways. There are three ways people have a yush from the geula. There are some people whose nirpu ha-yodayim, like a person's hands are weak and he just can't do anything. You know, he's just sitting there doing nothing. His hands, he's not moving himself. He's not moving his hands. He has weak hands. Then there are people who are making an effort in their avodas Hashem. They're trying. It's like the person who's standing up, but his knees are failing. It's like he's ready to collapse. He's standing. He's trying. He's working, but his hands can't hold him. His knees can't hold him. That represents the person who himself is trying, but there's something that he just can't because it's outside. Meirov hatzaros vehoavoda. There's just so much difficulty that he goes through in life. Ad shenila memela. He's memela. He's automatically weary. Shalomi atzluso. I'm quoting the Malbim. Not because of his laziness. His laziness is why the person who doesn't move his hands. His hands are just too weak. He gave up. There's a person who's trying to stand, but his knees can't hold him. Something's pushing him down. He can't stand. And then there's a third group. There are people who are misamates in their avodas Hashem, without their hands aren't weak. And they're not stumbling from the tzoros. In fact, they might have shalva. They have an easy life. They're trying in their avodas Hashem, and they have tranquility. But since they saw that so much time went by, and the words of the Nevi'im haven't happened, heimemarim lahachziv es direi hanevuah. They like rush to say, it just can't be, it's not happening. It's not happening. So on that, Yeshaya HaNovi is told, Chazku yodayim rofos. You have to strengthen those whose hands are weak. Give them chizik. So that they should feel to pick up their hands and do something. They got to do the Avodas Hashem. You can't sit back and let life go by. You got to do something. Uberkayim koshlos. And those who are trying to stand, but their knees are failing. So Ametsu, you have to strengthen them. And the Malbim says also there's a difference between Chazak and Ematz. Chazak is to strengthen yourself. You got to need sometimes you need a burst of energy. You just need to do something to act. That's Chazak. And certain times you need the ematz is to fortify yourself, to continue the effort. It's not enough to just give that first chazak, but after your mischazik, you have to ematz. You have to keep the battle going on. The person who had yush, because he's lazy. That person needs chizik to get moving. It's beautiful the way chazak goes with the hands and the Ametsu goes with the knees. Chazku yadayim rofos, the person whose hands are just weak. No, he's just not acting. He needs the chizik to get up and do something. Chazku yadayim rofos. The person who's trying and he's standing but the knees don't support him. Uberkayim koshlos ametsu, he needs that constant fortification. The tsaros and the difficulties in life just seem to overpower him, and he's trying to stand, but he can't. The knees won't hold him. Such a person, ametsu. You have to fortify. And the third category, that's trying, and they're able to, but they just feel the gula is not happening. Imru l'nim harei lev. You should say to those whose heart is impatient. They're rushing. The heart is just can't wait. Chizku v'al tiro. Strengthen yourself. And don't be afraid. Hine Elokeichem Nokom Yovo. Your Elohim will come with Nokom, with a revenge. At the end of days, those that deserve to be punished and those that mistreated Klal Yisrael, they're going to be punished. But Hashem is coming with Nokom Yovo. He's going to come with a revenge and punish those who deserve it. Gemul Elohim. And the retribution, when Hashem pays back, Hu yavo v'yoshachem. He will come and save you. When the geula comes, it's the end. It's the achris hayamim, the end of account. Those that need to be punished are punished. Those that need to be rewarded are rewarded. And just like we had by the gullus and the geula from Mitzrayim, Avram Avinu was told v'dor revi yashuvu heina. The fourth generation will come back after gullus Mitzrayim. Because the people living in Eretz Yisrael didn't yet deserve to be expelled. Once the goyim in Eretz Yisrael, they had a full measure that they of Averis, and they had done so much wrong that they deserved to be expelled and lose the land. At that point, everything has to fit in. The goyim deserved their punishment, and we deserved the geula from Mitzrayim, and everything worked out with a heavenly calculation. The Nim Harei Lev say, the Geulah, it's taking so long. Tell them, Hine Elokeichem Nokom Yavo. When Hashem comes, there's going to be the punishment for those nations that deserve the punishment. And Gemul Elokim, there's going to be a Gemul, a payment, a retribution, but it goes with Elokim. Elokim is the term of a judge. Midas Hadin, judgment. It goes with a cheshbon, with a calculation. And the one that comes to bring the gemul, the Hashem who's going to punish those who get their punishment, that's the Elohim who's going to come and save you. So until the nations, until the time has come that they deserve to finally receive their full punishment, at that point, the Geula will come. The Malbim also learns, Gemul Elokim, the Malbim learned actually is the, Gemul Elokim means Hashem will pay us back. That there's two parts to it. Hinei Elokeichem Nokom Yovo, that Hashem will come to give revenge on those who need the punishment. Then there's also Gemul Elokim. Your teshua is going to be through the gemul, the a reward that you receive for your maisim. He learns gemul here as a payment. Hagomel chasodim tovim. Gemul here is in a positive. It's a reward. The gemul elokim. Hashem is going to give us a reward, but it's going to that gemul is going to be the yeshua. So if we're not fit for it, it takes longer. There's an end date by which Mashiach will come, regardless. But if you wonder why it's taking so long, Gemul Elokim, the Gemul of Hashem, is going to when He pays you back for your mitzvos, Hu Yavo V'Yoshachem, He'll come and He'll save you. So if it's taking long, we got to do more mitzvos. You got to do serve Hashem better, and then Mashiach will come sooner. Oz Tipo Kachna Eine Yivrim. At that point, the eyes of the blind will be opened. And the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Their ears will be opened. Numerous times Yeshaya has mentioned that it's as if the Navi said it's like the people don't want to see the truth with their eyes. They don't want to hear it. In Yeshaya Perek Vav, he made reference. And in other places, like the people just aren't interested in hearing words of Musa. They don't want to improve themselves. They just want to continue the way they are. But when the Geula comes, Oz Tipa Kachna Eine Yivrim, the eyes of the blind, here referring to Klal Yisrael, but those who's they're blinded their eyes and they're not seeking to improve, but they'll have a greater awareness of Hashem. And the eyes of the Yivrim will be opened. And the ears of the deaf will be uncovered. And then they'll skip like a gazelle, gazelle is an ayol, is a swift animal. Piseach, the one who was previously lame, he'll be able to jump. He wasn't able to walk, but now he'll be jumping. Visoron the shon elaim, and the tongue of the mute, the one of the elaim who was unable to speak. Now all of a sudden his tongue will sing out. Visoron the shon elaim. They'll be attuned in their seichel. They'll be able to see. They'll be able to hear. And in terms of their action, they'll be jumping with joy. And in terms of their speech, they'll be singing out. In every form, they'll be changed at the times of the Geula with their excitement and enjoyment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now has shown His Malchus. And that will be expressed, Kinivku Bamidbor Mayim, because the desert will now be a breakthrough with water, Unecholim Bo'arova. And in the wilderness, there'll be streams. The wilderness, as the Midbar, is a place that's not fit for things to grow, as we mentioned. The desert. There's no water. It's the desert. But now, all of a sudden, Kinivku Bamidbar Mayim, the water will break through in the desert. The Arava, as the Malbim said earlier, the Arava is the place that thorns and thistles are growing, and it's not cultivated, it's overgrown, it's a wilderness. The Arava might have had water, but it didn't have nice conduits of water. There weren't canals, there weren't irrigation ditches. It was just overgrown, there might have been water. But now there'll be necholim, it's like a stream, there'll be an abundance of water, and it'll be in a nachal, it'll be in a stream, or necholim bo Arava, there'll be necholim in the wilderness. The scorched place that was under the heat will now become a pond. Vitzimon, the Mabue Moyim. in the parched place that's dry will now have mabue moyim, will have springs of water. Binvei sanim rivtza, a place where the wild animals, the jackals, the tanim, others learn tanim is the snakes, but in a place where the wild animals, the snakes, would lie down, chotzir lekonev agome, will now become a grassland with reeds and bulrushes. Things will grow from the wetness, from the dampness, there'll be an abundance of water. One hand, the psukim seem to be referring to what could be in a gashmiastika manner, that the deserts will now become fertile. Every part of Eretz Yisrael will be cultivated and will be lush and verdant. It will be a beautiful land. People won't be sick. The blind will be able to see and the deaf will be able to hear. People won't have physical handicaps. Everybody will be healed. In fact, I believe that Bar Benel had mentioned on Kavod Halavono Nitano, when we mentioned earlier about the glory of the Lavonon will be given, that the buildings and everything that's constructed will have the beautiful cedar trees. In other words, all the beauty will be in the lands, everything will be in abundance of all that's good. And on a ruchnius, in a spiritual level, it means their eyes will be open, that they'll see an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they didn't see before. The land will have water. Water signifies Torah and the life force. There'll be a pouring forth of Hashpah, of Ruchnius. It can mean both in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense, this Nevuah. In the desert, there are three problems with traveling in the desert, as the Malbim explains. First of all, there's no water. The second reason is there's no path. A guy would go through the desert. There's many people who decided to cross the desert, and they didn't make it, and their bones are lying somewhere out there. There's no path, and people don't know where to go. And the third thing is there are wild animals. Who knows what creatures are roaming there in the desert? These psukim, the Malbim say, is exactly what first the pasuk mentions, that at the time of the Geula, they will not have these three problems. All the deserts in Eretz Yisrael, everybody will be able to travel back to Eretz Yisrael, back to Yerushalayim. There won't be any desert stopping them. First of all, what we've mentioned, the deserts themselves will now have springs of water and there'll be streams. And the Novi continues, V'hoyosham maslul v'derech. There will be there a path and a road. It won't be like the desert where you get lost and you don't know how to travel. But here there will be a maslul and a derech. Maslul is a small path for somebody to walk on foot. A mesila is a road. Derech is derech hamelech, derech harabim. Derech is a wide, major road. And the way the Malbim describes it sounds a little like our sidewalks. He says there'll be a maslul. The word maslul, mesila, path, also means like an elevated place to walk. Like solu, solu, l'roche bo'aravos, exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the word solu means to elevate. And that's the word mesila. Like somebody makes a road, very often they make the roads where it's highest in the middle, the water runs off, the road is elevated. But he describes the mesila and the derech. The derech is the wide road where everyone travels with their wagons, with their horses. And the mesila is the path right next to it. There'd be an elevated place where people could walk. Like you have a curb, and then there's the sidewalk a little bit above the street level where people can walk. That's the mesila. And through this desert, v'hoyosham maslul v'derech, there'll be a path, there'll be a road. V'derech HaKodesh yikarei lo. And this will be known as the road of holiness. People will use this road on their way going to Yerushalayim. And even though he refers specifically, the Malbim writes this, it's just interesting, because when he wrote it, I don't think the Arabs had that power in Palestine at the time. But the Malbim says, Avo bal tita, you shouldn't make a mistake. Ki yia kamo ata, shenimsa li yishma'ilim gam kein derech sholchim bo. The Arabs also have a road that they travel on. Derech HaMidbar al Kever Nevi'im, they go on their pilgrimage to their prophet. And they have their path also through the desert when they go there. V'karno so gam kein derech HaKodesh. And they also call their road the road of holiness. So the Navi says, V'derech HaKodesh yikari la. This path will be called the road of holiness. But lo yavrenu tameh. Anybody who's tameh, impure, will not travel on this road. V'hu lomo. This road will be for them, for the Ivrim, for the Piseach, for the blind and the mute, all the people we were talking about, Klal Yisrael, that now is experiencing the Geula, V'hu Lomo. The road will be for them as they travel to Yerushalayim. Holech Derech. Holech Derech. Till now, when you travel in the desert, you need two things. First of all, you travel in a group. You don't go in the desert by yourself. You have a group. And also, you have to have a guide who'll show you how to go. You get together a group of people, and then they hire a guide to take them. But now, holech derech, you can have a single individual, not holchim, but holech, the person who goes himself derech on the road. Ve'vilim, and the ignorant ones. I mean, there might be a group, it's in the plural, but they're evilim, they're ignorant. And they would get lost. But lo yisu, they won't go astray, and this path everybody will find their way. Lo yia sham aryeh. So we have, so far, two problems have been resolved. There'll be water in the desert, there'll be a path in the desert, but the third thing is there's wild animals. And for that we're promised, lo yia sham aryeh. There won't be over there a lion. Uferitz chayos bal yalena, the boldest of animals. Rashi says the chazir miyar, it's referring to. The wild boar, the pig, the wild pig, the boar that's the chazir. Uferitz chayos bal yalena, he won't come onto this path. Lo simotze sham, he won't even be found in the vicinity. There won't be any danger. And again, these psukim also, Aryeh, the lion, could be referring to Nebuchadnezzar, who's referred to as the lion coming out of the thicket. But in the simple meaning, it means there won't be the wild animals, there won't be the lion, Ufritz Chayos Bal Yalena, and the boldest of the animals won't go up onto this road. Lo simotze sham, it won't be found there, v'holchu geulim. And those that have been redeemed will walk there. Ufiduye Hashem yeshuvun. And those that Hashem has been poda, has taken out of their difficult straits, they'll return. Uvot Tzion berino, and they'll come to back to Tzion berino with joy. V'simchas olam al rosham, and the simcha that they have will be a simchas olam, an eternal joy. When we came up from Golus Bavel, they came back to Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't come with simcha. It says, "V'gam bo l'tzion biyogun v'anocha." They came with a lot of sorrow and groans, and they suffered from the neighbors. Ezra and Nehemiah talk about how they struggled to build the wall. People were holding the weapons while they were with one hand they're building, and the other hand they're holding the weapons, and the nations around them attacked. And they needed to call on the king of Parah. Parah sent additional supplies, and it was a very difficult situation when they came out of Bavel. So, Fiduye Hashem Yeshuvun. Also, the term Pidyon, the term Geula is the term of somebody, a redeemer is a close relative. The Goel is the one who saves his close relative. The term Pidyon is when somebody's in a difficult situation and he's suffering and you extricate him and you take him out of that difficult strait that he's found in. V'olchu ge'ulim. On one hand, we're ge'ulim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us that we're his people. We're the ge'ulim, those that are redeemed by their relative, by Hashem. Ufiduye Hashem yeshuvun. And those that Hashem is podeh, and he takes us out from all of the suffering of Golus. Yeshuvun, they'll return. Uvo Tzion Barina. And when they come to Tzion, they'll come with song. Not like they did when they came up to build the second base HaMikdash. Also, v'simchas olam al rosham. It'll be a simcha that will be eternal. Not like, again, the simcha of the Bayis Sheni, of the second base HaMikdash, which didn't last. They came up and they built it, but there was again a churban and again suffering. But now it'll be a simchas olam al rosham. Sason v'simcha yasigu. They'll attain joy and gladness. And the sadness and the sighing will flee. And again, the Malbim explains every word means something else. If something catches up with you, that's the term yasigu is something. If you go after it, that is yasigu. That's what you amassed, something that you attained. If something comes after the individual, then that other thing is masig him. Like, charon apcha yasigim, your anger will overtake them. But here, it's not that the joy is going to overtake us. We're going to feel the joy of the ge'ul and we will attain that joy. And a joy that you are planning to get, something that you're looking forward to and you're planning for, first you have the sason. You're throwing a party, so you prepare everything. You have that outward manifestation of joy. First, there's sason, and that follows with the simcha that you have that inner joy yasigu, and that's something that you attain, something that you're going for, something that you're reaching for. So, first you have the sason, and then you have the simcha. And very often, if a person, if it wouldn't be a geula shleima, what happens is a person suffering and he has yogon and anocha, and he makes peace with the situation and gradually his pain subsides, and in its place he starts to feel again a little bit of simcha. But here it won't be that way. First there'll come the sason and then the simcha. And then that simcha that he has, v'nosu yogon v'anocha, it'll flee the yogon. Yogon is the sadness that a person has out inwardly. And anocha is the sighing, the groans, the outward manifestation of sadness. When the geula comes, sason v'simcha yasigu v'nosu yogon v'anocha, all of the sadness and the sighing will flee, because it's driven out by the sason v'simcha, by the joy that we have over the geula. This is, in short, a description of Nechama, Nevuah of Nechama, of what will be in the future, how the deserts will become fertile in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll be able to travel back to Tzion, to the Beis HaMikdash, and it'll be a happiness forever. A short 10 psukim of Nechama for what will be in the future. In the next perek, we'll begin it now, but it's now going to... We've referred to it so many times, but now we're going to have the actual story of what happened when Sancheiriv came with his army outside Yerushalayim. Now this story is found two other places in Tanakh. The first one is in Melachim, in Kings, where it tells over the whole story of what happened. And then in Divrei Hayamim, in Chronicles, where again in the Ksuvim, in Divrei Hayamim, it also describes the story. The Malbim explains as follows. It's in Melachim Beis, Perek Yurches. And it's also found in Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Lamed Beis. And it's almost the same story, but there are differences. As the Malbim, I'm taking this from the Malbim, his introduction. It says in Melachim Beis, after Sancheiriv came to all of the fortified cities in Yehuda, and he captured them, Chizkiyo sent a message to Sancheiriv, and he said, Chotosi, I sinned. I'm wrong for not serving you. Shuv me alai, turn back, take your army away. Esa sher titein alai esa, whatever you put on me, whatever taxes or obligations you put on me, whatever you want, I'll give you. Just leave us in peace. So the king of Ashur placed on Melech Yehuda, on Chizkio, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold, and Chizkio gave him everything. Then he sent Rav Shoke. Rav Shoke, we'll learn, was a Yisrael Mumer. He was a Jew, and he went over to the side of Ashur, and he would call out to the Jews in Yerushalayim, and he'd say, listen, there's no way we can defeat the king of Ashur, you should surrender. This was Rav Shoke, which we're going to be learning a lot about him. But at that point, the king of Ashur, Sancheirav, sent Rav Shoke, and it begins the story as we have here in Yeshayahu. But it's missing this. There's a piece in Melachim about him sending a present that the king of Ashur put a tax on Chizkio, and he paid it. And then the story picks up from what we have here. In Divrei HaYomim, it says as follows. Sancheirav came to the fortified cities of Yehuda, and at that point Chizkio blocked up the wells of water. There were springs, and he was able to cover and block off the spring that no water should be coming up. So he cut off the water supply, and I guess the nations, the Goyim, wouldn't know where to look for the spring. I don't know where the spring comes from. But he blocked off the Mayonos, and there was a Nachal Shoteif, like a stream of water that flowed through the lands. He closed that up. He made Shelach u'Maginim, he made shields in abundance, and he gathered the people, Vayechazek eslibom b'Hashem, this is what it says in Divrei HaYomim, and he strengthened the people to put their bitachon in Hashem, and he appointed generals. And then it says, Sancheirav sent Rav Shoke, and he told the people in the city, you should surrender, like we're going to learn right now. U'lahashvus hasipurim ho'ele. So the Malbim says to put everything together. The Malbim develops it in a greater thing, but at a superficial level, it would seem of note that he basically, it seems that he prepared himself like Yaakov Avinu prepared himself for Esav. He sent him a present. He tried to bribe him to leave him alone. They were mechazik, vayechazik eslibom b'Hashem. He strengthened their heart in Hashem. There must have been the tefillah, the davening to Hashem. And then he prepared for war. But the Malbim says that the fact that everything fits together even more beautifully. Mavur Ledaiti, the Malbim says it's explained. Because when Sancheirav came to capture the cities, Chizkio began in peace. And he sent him the tax. And his kavona was to give him time. Chizkio was there with a big army, and he was destroying all the fortified cities. So Chizkio sent him a tax. Whatever you want, I'll send you. And he sent him a present. And the king of Ashur turned away. Now that the king of Ashur turned away, that's when he began preparing his fortifications and strengthening and putting together shields and getting ready to go against Sancheirav. And then Sancheirav was aware of what's going on, and he returned again. And he sent Rav Shoke, as we're going to learn. Now, keeping that in mind, we'll see the first few psukim in Perek Lamed Vav. Vayehi ba'arba esrei shana. It was in the 14th year. La'melech Chizkio of the king Chizkio. Ola Sancheirav melech Ashur. Sancheirav, the king of Ashur, came up. Al kol arei Yehuda habetzuros. On all of the fortified cities of Yehuda. Vayispaseim, and he captured them. Vayishach melech Ashur. The king of Ashur sent us Rav Shoke mi Lachish. He sent Rav Shoke, who was coming from the city, from the place called Lachish. He sent Rav Shoke Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim El HaMelech Chizkio. And he sent him to King Chizkio, Bechel Kaved, with a great army. Vayamod, and he stood Bisa'olas Habrecho HaLyona. At the channel of the upper pool, Bimesilas Techoves. And the road of the launderer's field. They obviously had a pool, and they diverted water into like a ditch. I don't know. There could be, the truth is the Gemara in Bava Basra discusses at one place how they did laundry. They had a pool with the water and the dirty clothes, and they put in whatever detergent, whatever would clean the clothes. And they had a certain pool over there for doing that. And then afterwards, they needed a final rinse. Then they took out the clothes and they put it into a different pool of clean water. But over here, it could be there was a Brecho El Yona. There was the upper pool, and there was a Ta'ala, a channel coming from that pool. They diverted water in order to clean the clothes, and they had this channel of water coming off the pool. And there was a Mesilas, the road of Stechoves. Right over there, they did the laundry. And then they had a field where everyone would hang out their laundry. Instead of, not everybody had running water. They didn't have running water. So there was a field where everybody would hang their laundry. And there was a road, a Mesila by the Stechoves. So with the Malvim putting everything together, the fact that he paid a tax and the fact that he got the army and he prepared for war, the Malvim says what happened was he blocked up the water supply. So it was as if Sancheiriv came back. And he sent Rav Shoke. And he had Rav Shoke stand right over there where there used to be a pool. There used to be laundry going on. And he stood there by the empty, dry area where there's no water in sight, as if to say to Chizkio, I know why you're doing this. If the people had a pool for doing laundry and there was water available, how come now it's dry? Because you blocked out the water that any approaching army shouldn't have water. Chizkio was inside the city, but any water outside, he blocked up all of those springs because he didn't want the enemy army to find water. So Rav Shoke stood exactly here, b'sa'olas habrecho el yona, by the channel of the upper pool, b'mesilas dechoves, by the road of the launderer's field. And that's where Rav Shoke stood, and he's going to tell the people not to fight against Sancheiriv. So Chizkio had three of his men go out to them. El Yokim ben Chilkiyo Asher al Haboyis, he was in charge of the palace. Veshevna Asofer, and Shevna, who was the scribe. Veyoach ben Osof Hamazgir, and Yoach the son of Osof, who was Hamazgir, he was the recorder. He would write down either which cases should be decided by the king first, or he kept the court records. These three people, El Yokim ben Chilkiyohu, Shevna HaSofer, and Yoach ben Osof. This Shevna, we talked about earlier in Yeshaya. He was actually sent out, and he was with Chizkiyohu, but it seems like he was afraid, or at one point he sort of joined Sancheiriv. He wanted to join with Sancheiriv. The Gemara discusses he shot an arrow saying that I want to surrender. Don't think everybody in the city is against you. It's Chizkio, but I'm willing to come out and support you with my men. And the Gemara discusses how Shevna actually had a greater yeshiva. He had more Talmidim than Chizkiyohu. And like we've seen many times in Tanakh, the Gedolei Hador and the great Tzaddikim were opposed by others who also were very knowledgeable and were great people, but were wrong. Here also, Chizkio is opposed by this Shevna. It's talked about in Perek Chof Beis, beginning from around Pasuk Tesvav, Shevna. But anyways, he was one of the three people that went out to Rav Shoke. And he says as follows, Vayomer Aleim Rav Shoke. Rav Shoke said to them, Rav Shoke is Sancheiriv's, the one who is Sancheiriv's general, the one who came with his army. He said, Imruno al Chizkiyohu, say now to Chizkio the following message. Ko Amar HaMelech HaGadol, so says the great king, Melech Ashur, the king of Ashur. Mo HaBitochon HaZeh Asher Botochta, what is this confidence that you're so confident? What gives you the Bitochon? Amarti Achtavar Sifosayim, Amarti, I said, Achdavar Sfasayim. It was just words of the lips. Is that what Eitzu Gevura La Milchama? But you have to have a strategy and power in order to do battle. Meforshim translate the pasuk as Amarti. I would think that Achdavar Sfasayim, you're just talking. And you're saying that you're not going to serve me, and I would think it's just talk that you're thinking you would do battle with me. But there can't be any substance to that, because talk won't win the war. It might be Achdavar Sfasayim, the fact that you seem like you're preparing for war, but that's just talk. In reality, you need an Eitzu Gevura La Milchama. You have to have a strategy. You have to have power in order to do battle. It's a difficult pasuk to translate. The way the Malbim learns, he said, Moha bitachon hazeh asher batachta. What is this confidence, this bitachon, that you feel so secure? Amarti, I see what you're thinking. And what you're thinking, now he like places himself in the place of Chizkiyo. Amarti, you know what you're saying? I said, Achdavar Sfasayim, that all that bribe, I sent the present to the king of Ashur. I said, whatever you want, I'll give you, just leave me in peace. Amarti, you're probably saying to yourself, I said, Achdavar Sfasayim, that's just talk of the lips. It's not like I made a treaty with Sancheiriv. It's not like I promised to serve him. I just said to him, whatever you want, I'll give you. And I gave it to him. But now if I want, I can wage war. It's if two different nations, two countries battle each other, it's not necessarily it doesn't show a lack of honesty if one nation battles the other. On the other hand, if you promise somebody that you'll serve him, and then you turn against him, that's a base type of dishonest behavior. But you're probably saying, Amarti, this is like Chizkiyo thinking, I said, Achdavar Sfasayim, when I promise on Sancheir, whatever you want, I'll do for you, that's just talk. Eitzu Gevura La Milchama, but in reality, you're thinking, I'm going to put together a council in Eitza, and I'm going to have Gevura, I'm going to have a way of doing battle. The Eitza, the council is, to block up the water from outside the city, and he prepared to get the water in the city, that he should be able to withstand a siege, and the enemy army shouldn't have a water supply. That's the Eitza. And the Gevura is preparing the shields, and setting up the generals, and preparing for battle. So you might think, you didn't make a treaty with me, you just talked. It was Devar Sfasayim. You said you would send me whatever I want. But in reality, it's an Eitzah and Gevura, La Milchama, you're preparing for war, and you might think you're not doing anything wrong. But you should know, Ata mi batachta. Who are you putting your trust in now? You might have thought, before you sent me any tribute, so you'd be one nation fighting another, and you don't deserve such a major punishment. But now I look at it as if when you sent me that present, you told me whatever I want, I'll give you. When you made that promise to Sancheiriv, you promised that you would serve Sancheiriv. And if you turn against Sancheiriv now, after accepting my malchus, you're begeder moreid. You're like somebody rebelling against the king. So ata mi batachta. So now I want to know, who are you putting your confidence in now? Kimorada tobi. Because I'm looking at it, kimorada tobi, you're rebelling against me. And we'll continue Mirtashem next week.